As we just heard, Illinois is keeping two of its nuclear power plants running with new subsidies. But elsewhere in the country, some power plants are closing ahead of schedule. At least five of the country's nuclear plants have closed in the past 5 years. So what's the state of nuclear energy nationally? To help us answer that question, we're joined by John Larson. He's director of the Rhodium Group and a senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And John, why is it that so many nuclear plants are closing early?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons for this. Nuclear is an important part of the overall electric power picture in the United States. It's 20% of total electric generation in the country. The youngest plant in the fleet is 20 years old. They only get older from there. Many of these were built back in the 70s and 80s, and they're showing their age. And it takes money to keep them up and operating efficiently, and as they get older, those costs increase. That's one factor. A few other factors are market factors. Power prices in the United States have been relatively low of late because of cheap natural gas and increasingly cheap renewable energy power. Those factors are putting downward pressure on how much nuclear plants can make in the market. So not only do they see escalating costs, but they are also not getting paid as much for the power they're generating. That's kind of the primary set of drivers.
So thinking about the aging infrastructure part of the equation that you were mentioning, you know, for example, the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station in Massachusetts, they just had Nuclear Regulatory Commission inspectors there, and they found a lot of problems. They had concerns about the culture of safety overall. The plant had just got shut down this weekend because of newly discovered leaking valves. I mean, is the Pilgrim plant indicative of safety concerns that we ought to be having for the rest of America's extant nuclear power stations?
Overall, the U.S. nuclear fleet has an extremely high reputation for safety. There's been very few serious incidents in the country, given that we have the largest nuclear fleet in the world. Having said that, you know, the age of these plants is an important factor in keeping them up, and events like Pilgrim are I think, good examples of the issues that, you know, the current fleet is facing. But at the moment, you know, I think the plant operators did what they were supposed to do to make sure that things were kept keeping everybody safe.
So some interesting tensions here regarding nuclear as a part of the overall energy mix for the United States. As you said a little earlier, nuclear still provides, 20% of electricity in the United States. But we have increasing costs for operation and downward pressures on price. So sort of like business 101 makes me think that it's not a sustainable business model, and that, I mean, should the country be thinking about phasing out nuclear as a major source of electricity?
I mean, there's a couple of things to think about as far as what nuclear brings to the table here. It's 20% of total electricity generation, but it's 60% of total clean, zero-emitting. There's no CO2 emissions, no air pollution. That's more than what hydro and wind and solar provide combined. Retiring the existing nuclear fleet in an accelerated manner, some sort of accelerated phase out, would actually make CO2 pollution worse at a time when we have the Paris commitments and a variety of other drivers to try and push emissions down. There is no price on carbon that can compensate nuclear for providing zero-emitting generation. In New England, in the Northeast, as well as in California, there is a price on carbon. It certainly helps and helps the economics of those plants in those places. And now you're actually seeing a few states putting in place policies to subsidize nuclear plants. So I think you're actually seeing some policy efforts, in particular in New York and Illinois, to help to monetize that CO2 value for these plants and help keep them afloat.
So this is the double-edged sword of nuclear, though, because as you said, on one hand, yes, it provides a huge amount of the zero-carbon clean energy, but on the other hand, it also produces nuclear waste, and we don't have anywhere to put it. I mean, the Yucca Mountain Project is stalled, if not dead. And so for any whole picture when we're talking about nuclear, that has to be one of the considerations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Magda. I mean, the waste issue isn't going away simply because these plants are still here and they still generate power. And if nuclear is going to have a long-run future in the United States, the waste problem needs to be solved. There's been talk of spots in New Mexico as well as South Carolina, I think, that exploring different options for alternative waste storage areas. But that is a requirement of any extended role for nuclear power in the country is the waste management.
So we are seeing some hints of interest from the president-elect's transition team about nuclear, because they reportedly circulated a memo at the Department of Energy asking about how the DOE could keep nuclear reactors, quote, operating as a part of the nation's infrastructure. And then we also have the nomination of former Texas Governor Rick Perry as Secretary of Energy. So given those two things, I mean, where do you think Donald Trump and his administration might stand on the future of nuclear in the United States?
It's hard to say for certain, since all we have is a line or two from a transition memo and a couple of campaign positions here, and no formal, well-defined policy stance. But it does look like the incoming administration would like to see nuclear at least continue the role it's playing in the power fleet, if not expand it. But I'm not quite sure how they're going to be able to do that. The federal government doesn't set power prices. And so it's going to be difficult to find a way to help nuclear power plants stay afloat just through federal intervention alone. I mean, I think states actually have more of a role in solving that problem, as we're seeing in New York and Illinois, than anything the Department of Energy can do in the near term. But the other side of it is the Trump administration has been much clearer in its support for fossil fuel development, mm-hmm. particular oil and gas development. And the more gas we produce in the United States, the cheaper it's going to be. And that's going to push power prices down, or at least keep them down where they've been over the last several years. And that's going to put pressure on the existing nuclear fleet. So I think there's some different components of the Trump administration energy stance that run against each other when it comes to nuclear.
Well, John Larson is a senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Magna. I enjoyed it.